your Bibles with you.
Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and their hands shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and he beheld, and angels came and ministered to him.
Well, a good Sunday to be here, isn't it? Right at the start of the year.
Yes,
honey. Yeah. Yes. So, I want to talk through some stuff this morning, which I basically think the Lord has put in Scripture for us to benefit from. And at the start of the year, it's good to kickstart with something that I think the Lord has provided for us, He's made it available to us, and we get to partake of. Yes, amen. Right, just checking you're still there. So we read that part about the temptation of Jesus out there, and you may be thinking, well, why is that relevant to now? It's relevant in the fact that that was ordained to happen. Because the very first verse, it says that the Spirit of the Lord took Jesus up onto the top to actually be tempted. So it was an ordained act of God that he had put in place, pure and simply, I feel that, so that Jesus was able to use the word of the Lord to defeat the enemy every time he tried to trick him or coerce him into accepting something that he was offering, which he didn't even really own. So the Lord had that plan for a reason and a purpose, because he was establishing the fact that he is supreme. He is the Lord God Almighty. And the enemy is around, but he's not going to win. Because the sacrifice of Jesus nailed that attempt to the cross. And Jesus won the victory over the cross. And is now seated at the right hand side of the Father. So I want to link this in with prayer this morning. Especially because we're going to the prayer meeting tonight of the joint churches in the area. And there's going to be four of these meetings throughout the year. And they've called it 2020 Prayer Initiative. And it's calling the believers of Christ Church to come together and to pray and to talk to God. And I think that's quite amazing. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it tonight. And I think, what is prayer? Prayer is simply, in my mind, it's me having a conversation with a friend who happens to be God. And allowing time for that friend to have a conversation back with me. Yeah?
Amen.
So if you keep that in your mind, that's a simple way to explain prayer. Prayer is not this, you know, on my knees completely, all before the Lord, and I'm so much in awe and reverence of Him and His holiness that I don't even want to lift my head. That can be the case when the presence of the Lord shows up so strongly that you just don't have a chance to stand, that you don't want to stand. But generally speaking, it's referring to a process which we get invited into of a conversation with God. It shouldn't be any more different, me talking to God, than me talking to Haggai. He doesn't want any other difference made of it. It's his availability to us to come in to his presence, to talk to him, and to tell him, and to ask him. But in all of those, you've got to listen as well. Because he's got to have his right to speak. If he is the Lord God Almighty, and has everything ordained and everything planned, isn't that a good source of knowledge to go to him and say, well, what's next? And this is a good time of the year to go before the Lord and say, okay, God, what is next? What does 2020 hold for me? What changes lie in store? How do I get closer to you? How do I walk out the ways of righteousness before you? How do I walk out my way of life that's been ordained by you? So I get to see things change and shift in this area, in this locality. God anointed Jesus, and the scripture here is actually in Exodus 40:15. It actually shows that because of his lineage and his birthright, that God had this already in place in preparation for Jesus coming. And it says in Exodus 40:15, and you shall anoint them even as you have anointed their father, that they may minister as priests to me, and their anointing will qualify them for a perpetual priesthood throughout the generations. So even way back in Exodus, it was ordained that that would be carried from generation to generation. And that anointing would be there even when Jesus comes on the scene. And then in Acts 10:38, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and now he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So there's that whole thing of he's anointed by God to go and do works that the enemy's trying to put on people's lives, and Jesus was anointed to say, not while I'm here, not while my kingdom is advancing through the land. That stops, because my God is with me. So that's important to remember that as we move through here. Matthew 4:4, as Mary read out, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So that gives you the clue that he does speak. He's not a silent God. He was never intended to be a silent God. He has a voice, and he wants to use it. And we need to learn to listen to what he's saying. Because without an anointed connection to God, we aren't really going to do much impact or damage in the enemy's kingdom. You've got to understand who you are, the authority that you've been given, that's been placed upon you, that you carry within you, that you are guaranteed you're going to actually go out and destroy the enemy of Satan. Because it's God ordained, it's God's will, it's in his purposes, and everything in heaven is behind us. In Matthew 12:32, whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Wow. I look at that and I think, wow, what respect the Lord has for his Holy Spirit. Because he has sent the Holy Spirit to dwell here, to be the comforter, to be in us, and to do and to speak to us. But yet he holds him in high regard. He is one of the three. And they look after each other, their family. Colossians 1:7. to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory, this mystery amongst the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in us, by the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, that we become hope carriers to people who don't know this God, who walk in darkness, and the light has not yet risen upon them. If we don't take the hope that we carry and get it out there and tell people, then that light is never going to dawn upon them. So we are given that that go from the Lord in Matthew 28, that it says, go into all the world, and lo, I am with you always. He's not going to be with us part of the time or a little bit of the time. He means always. If he dwells in us, he's got no intention of going anywhere. So we've got to take best use of what he has provided for us to live life and to enjoy life, to be filled with his peace, and to know the joy of the Lord that is your
strength.
So it's all key. So anybody that's got a head on them that thinks this through will think, well, if he's the source of all joy, he's the source of my peace, then I want to speak with him. I want to take time to talk with him and be around him. Where are the mystery to the Gentiles? Who's a Gentile? We're all Gentiles. Those that were not born of the Jewish race were classed as Gentiles. So we're a Gentile. But we are a Gentiles that have connected with the Father and now carry the hope that is within us to share with others. The hope of glory. God's glory, his presence, we carry, but it's a sign and a wonder to others. And we get to invite them into that. Faith. You've got to have faith. Sounds like a song. It's a confident expectation that what we hope for will
come to
happen.
Yeah.
So that's what faith is. You've got to have an expectation that if you believe in this God, you trust in him, and that he is the creator, the orchestrator of every design and plan that's around today, that we got to believe in him. So you got to Hebrews 11 verse 6 said, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek
him.
So he's a rewarder of those who seek him, who believe that he is God, and that we can come before him. So if we don't exercise our faith, I mean, if I, let me think of a quick example. If I was to say that, I was to say that this guitar is amazing because it plays music. I already see it, so I don't have to believe that it's there. But faith is actually declaring something and calling it into being because you don't see it, but because you know God and you know his ways and you know he's speaking about it, you can declare something and call it as though it's not. Now, that's stepping into a realm that takes us out of our comfortableness, but it's actually stepping into a realm that excites the heart of God, because he loves the impossible, and he loves to come and do the impossible through who?
Through us.
Yeah. We're his vessels. And in Romans 8, 18, turn with me to that. Romans 8, 18. You got your Bibles? Yeah. Romans 8 and 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So there's a time coming when the glory is going to be revealed to us that outweighs all suffering and outweighs everything else, because there is greater in that revelation that comes to us. And then in verse 19, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. So creation is groaning and crying out. Ever since God shut the garden down, A man was put outside. There's been a yearning in the earth for that to be restored. It says that even the trees of the field will clap their hands for joy. There's something in nature that God designed that has life in it, like us. There's life in us. But we're better equipped than a tree to go and do exploits for God. Amen? We can be rooted and planted in the kingdom and rooted and planted in Jesus and in his ways, but he still requires of us to go do what he wants us to do. How can you do if you don't know what it is you're meant to do? If you're not sure of what you're meant to do, what is the best way to cope with that?
Ask.
Yes. Ask. He's made it available for us to walk right into the Holy of Holies and ask questions. To actually ask of him how to deal with stuff. To ask him, how do I cope with this? To ask him all sorts of questions. He's available. He's never not in. He's never not available. And he's definitely not ever tired of us coming before him. He's a good father. God won't give you any more than he knows that you're capable at this season of carrying. He's gracious. But what he does when he gives you something, it's a training and a process to equip you and establish you for more that's coming. Because there's always more that's coming with the Father. He always wants better for you. In John 14, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Now, when Jesus was here, Jesus went away and talked with his Father. There's strategy here. So now that his time was finishing, the Lord was telling his disciples that you've watched me, you've seen me do things, but there's a time coming when I'm not going to be here, and I'm going to be with my Father, the one I talk with, but I'll be right there with him. So when you come to talk to the Father, you're talking to me as well, because I'm there. I'm seated at the right hand side of the Father. So it actually, to me, it speaks of a stronger sense of come talk with me, because you're talking to the Godhead. The Godhead then has the Holy Spirit, which the Comforter was sent after his death and resurrection to come, to comfort us, but to be in us for the greater works. So if Jesus was able to do great works because of the conversations he had with his Father, and he's telling us that we're going to do greater works than he has done, I think there's a link there in the fact that God and Jesus are now helping to actually fulfill what we're asking and what he wants to happen. So the information channels have been opened up far wider than what we've known, wider than at the time when Jesus walked on the earth and talked to his Father. Now there's like open heaven, open sky, open access to actually go in and ask questions, receive answers, and go and walk it out. Yeah? So I think the Lord has a strategy in that. And you know, in Hebrews 12:1 it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with the endurance the race that has been set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand side of the throne of God. There's been an open door opened even wider, and Jesus made that possible. The plans of the designer came into effect when Jesus rose from the dead and he took the authority back. He took the keys of the kingdom back again and said, devil, your time's limited. Your time's on a dwindle because I have taken back all authority. Doesn't mean he's not there. Doesn't mean that he's not attempting to try and wear us down or shake us or make us give up on things. His whole purpose will be still to thwart us and to take away from us, to steal from us, and to destroy us. So he is an enemy that needs to be watched and be aware of, because He's prowling around like a lion. Well, the problem is he hasn't got any teeth. But he can nonetheless have an effect and an impact on your life that can wear you. And it says that little foxes will nibble away at you and will cause you to back off things. Because it's a constant wearing. It's not the big impact most times actually stops you in your tracks. It's the wearing away and the wearing away. Nibble, nibble, nibble. Attack, attack, attack. And then all of a sudden you just think, what's the point? And you back down. Rather than recognizing or being in that place where you speak with the Father in heaven and you realize, hey son, hey daughter, I want to tell you what's happening in this scenario of your life at this time. And once you know what it is, you're going to rise up in me and you're going to stamp on it and you're going to knock it into its rightful place. So there's a key to being in the presence of God, in talking with him. And I want us to look at the example of Jesus, because in Mark chapter 1, I think this is quite key. Now, I'm speaking this to me this morning just as much as you all, because I find this a challenge too, and you will do. Mark 1, verse 35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a scheduled, secluded place, and was praying there. Now, in the Jewish culture, the day starts usually sort of 4:30, 5:30 in the morning, because they get out when the sun comes up, and they go out and do the most of the work before it gets too hot in the day. So this scripture tells me that Jesus took himself, got up, and took himself apart to a secluded place prior to anybody else getting up to start the day. So he took time out to talk with the Father in heaven, to hear what the Father and him were wanting to talk about. Would have been amazing. But we see the examples of it in the scripture as what took place. Because the Bible clearly says that Jesus only did what he heard the Father telling him to do. Yeah? So what happens later in Mark chapter 1, after spending 3, possibly 4 hours in prayer before the day starts, he then walks down into the town, and the first thing that happens is, in verse 40, he would go into the town and heal a leper and cast out demons.
Just for breakfast.
Yeah. But it was like, it was a done thing. It happened. It was not dragged out for a long time. And then later on it speaks about, and then he heals a blind man in John 9, verse 1. It was like a blind man came to him and Jesus healed him. Different day. I'm not saying this all happened the same day, but these are the types of things that happen. And then a woman who was vexed about her daughter came to Jesus and said, can you help? Healed. In a word, healed. Then a young man in a coffin who was in the burial procession, and Jesus comes forward and touches the coffin, and the young man comes back to life. Done in an instant. Wasn't dragged out. Jesus, in Mark 5, walks into the demoniac in the garden. The man who was naked, running wild, chains everywhere, and everybody around him was scared of him. Jesus walks in and bang! The Spirit of the Lord touches him and he is freed. Jesus operated it so well. What we can sometimes take hours to do, Jesus was doing right away. There was no delay in it. Because he carried authority, and I reckon that his time talking early in the morning with his Father, the Father had said, oh, by the way, you're going to cross the lake today, later on, and you're going to row across the lake and get out the other side, and this wild demoniac's going to come up to you. Deal with them. Set them free. I think Jesus had prior knowledge about what his Father was wanting him to carry out that day. To me, if that's the precedent that Jesus set, then it's still the same today. There should be no difference in us going before the Father and finding out what's going to happen later in the day. And then we get to the point and we go deal with it. We loose the captive, we set the captive free, and we operate under the power of the Holy Spirit. If you spend 3 or 4 hours with God in the morning, then you won't have to spend long with men during the day. If you spend a minute with the Father in the morning, You can spend a lot of hours during the day trying to sort out the problems of men. I think it's quite... time in prayer is not wasted time. It's invested time. Then you got the example in Matthew 17, verse 15 and 16. Jesus already knew about this. I think it was part of the training that he was putting the disciples through before he departed. So you got the account of the disciples have been asked by this guy to come. My son is like demonized. Can you come help? And you all know the story that of course, you got Peter there, John there, Luke and James, and not only surmising, but just follow this through with me. Imagine if you had, is this father walks up and explains about his son, and Peter said, no problem. And John, with a direction, And Luke may have had, And James would have said, let's get him. You know, but in this particular instance, these great men, the apostles, couldn't do anything, and they had to secretly ask Jesus later, why won't we be able to do this? And he actually said it was because these sort only come out by prayer and fasting. So it's again, it's that he said, you've seen me, you've known I've been up early in the morning, and I've been away praying and talking to my Father, and yet you have not stepped into that yet. And you ask me why this is not happening? Because you weren't ready for it. You weren't prepared for it. And yet there's an available way there that says, come to me and I will tell you and I will show you all things that must take place. There's wisdom, knowledge, and information that comes from the throne room, even more so because Jesus and God are there together now. And the Holy Spirit is there, but he is also in us. So he comes and relays. He's like the door opener to the conversation. So that our ears hear what it is they're talking about. And that, you know, this morning they could have been up there and said, well, Laurie, Laurie's going to bump into somebody down around the quay this afternoon in Christchurch. I hope we set him up. And so he walks into somebody and there's a conversation starts and Laurie's going to lead that person to Jesus Christ. And, you know, Laurie's conversation with the Lord, well, you can sense the conversation going back and forward. God, you've given me a little snippet, give me some more. I need something more to go on. I can't just go down there. Has he black hair? Is he bald? Has he a moustache? Has he, you know, give me some more to identify this man when I see him. And so the Holy Spirit's got that capability to actually relay information and even give Laurie a complete physical description to the clothes the guy has on his back.
Absolutely.
So he will not miss this guy because he's on an assignment from God that said, you're going to lead this man to Jesus today. And Laurie's of the heart, I want to know more, Lord, so I don't miss the guy. And so I do what you're saying and it all comes together because I want to have my heart excited at the fact that I've been part of an answered prayer. I've been part of a plan and purpose of God. And he used me today to actually win some of the Lord. But what's more, he told me about it before it happened.
Absolutely.
So folks, that's what we are. That's where we're at. He has made everything available. We need to step up a little bit, shake ourselves and say, okay, God, if this is for real and this can really happen, I want it to happen. I want to chase you down. I want to be hungry enough, Lord, that I will go after you and I can seek your face. I know that I'm in the presence of the holiness of the living, true God. I know and I believe that even though I can't see it, you're going to speak to me today. And I'm going to speak to you. But we're going to have this two-way conversation going on, not just one way. And I'm not just going to spend a minute anymore, Lord, because today I've realized spending a minute with God doesn't really cut it. That's about enough for me to blurb out at him, but not enough time for him to come back with us. So we want to allow the time frame for the Father to speak, for us to speak, for us to worship him, for us to adore him, and open the channels of communication to the Father and the throne room. There is all this information up there. that the Father would love to give to his children. Who's going to be hungry enough to go get it? Who's going to be hungry enough to actually say, I want to be those group that the earth cries out for the sons of God to arise. If you're arisen, something's happened in you that's come alive. You've realized the truth. There's something in you that's got switched on, and you know that as a son of God or a daughter of God, you have access to the Father. Having access to the Father means you've access to information that only He knows about and He can relay to you. I think this is exciting, guys, that the word of knowledge, the healing the sick, raising the dead, can all start with the plans of God. His ordained will, His ordained plan coming into play through us right here, right now, and in this season. It's exciting. And it's there. We can't see it. We can't touch it. But it starts with faith to believe that I can enter into the Holy of Holies. I can hear God's voice. Do you believe it? Yeah. How many has heard and been instructed before over things? Yes. And I bet you all of you, like me, could put your hand up and say, yeah, and I don't spend as much time with the Father as what I should. How much more then, if we press into the Father, are we going to have release to us? Because if He sees how you handle the little, He says He'll give you more. So we've got to take what we're getting, use it, and expect more, because He wants to give us more. He has got so many people out there that He wants to talk to, through us, to connect with, to open their eyes, open their ears, and call them into a relationship with their Father. And that's all up there to go after and take and to grab and bring it down to us and release it as we walk out our daily life. You don't know the impact that you can have when you spend that longer time in the morning with the Father and you walk your day out. How many have woke up and you've spent time with God in the morning? Should it be a minute or should it be 10? Should it be half an hour? And your day seems to go so much better. There's a precedent in that. There's a key in that. That spending time with your Father excites His heart, but you get excited because you get part of and parcel of what He's doing on the earth right now. Yeah? Connection is preparation. Connection is preparation. If you don't connect, you're not prepared. Simple as. There's no other way to put it, but that's truth. You know, you prepare yourself to connect with the Father. You make it a point to connect with the Father. Wow. Watch and see what He does around you. Watch and see what He does. Because He will. It's in His plan. He doesn't go back in His word. But He's awaiting us to arise, the sons of God, that know who you are in God and want to rise and come after Him and chase Him down. Why? To bring glory unto Him. It's for His glory that we do all this. It's to exalt His name in all of the earth. It's to actually advance the kingdom of God so that we cover the world like the waters cover the sea. There's so much to do. There's so much to be involved in. And yet the Lord's saying, come on, guys. Arise, O sleeper, wake up. There is so much at your fingertips. I want to open the doors to you. I want to release it to you. And all I'm saying is, I've made an open plan door. The door is open to you 24/7. All you need to do is come in. Sit with me. Talk with me. And let's see where we take this. Amen. Amen indeed. Now, there's three scriptures, just as we finish this today. One's in Jude 1, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. What we, the Lord in you, can. And then in Ephesians 6, 8, in